Today on Real Radio.
I was reading Dr. Harry Ironside in this commentary, and he said that he had bumped in a woman in New York City, and they were talking, and them both being Christians. Somehow they exchanged favorite verses, and she says, "My favorite verse is Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And Harry Ironside, not remembering exactly what that said, asked her, "Remind me, what does that say?" And she says, "And it came to pass." And he said, "That's your favorite verse, it came to pass?" And she said, "Yeah, it is." And he goes, "Well, how was that?" And she said, "Well, my life has been filled with difficulties. But God's always been faithful to get me through. And this thing I've learned in my life of trials and difficulties, it came to pass."
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his series through the book of Joshua. And the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 4 tell us that the entire nation of Israel had now passed over the Jordan. Of course, the only way that that could have happened is through a divine miracle. And so the God of Israel himself commanded Joshua to take himself and some of his top men and lay down 12 stones as a memorial to this big event. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a look at this portion of Joshua in a study called Life and What It Should Mean.
Life and What It Should Mean. Now, everybody's interested in that kind of a title and that kind of a topic. If you're a Christian or not, you are very, very interested in making your life count. You might want your life to count for the company that you're building or for the grades that you're earning or the money that you want to make. So you might be very sincere and very intense about your life having meaning in a certain area of life. Maybe it's family. That all you would really be happy with is if your family would just maybe stay together or whatever it might be. Some of these things noble, some of them not so noble. It all depends on what we choose is our affection. What is it for you? What is it for me? What is it in the deep, dark recesses of your heart? What's the passion that drives you? What's the meaning for life? Why are you here? You can go to a bookstore in a certain section and go broke buying books that address this topic or this issue. Life and its meaning. Many people spend an entire lifetime searching and never yielding to the very profound yet simple revelation that it is God who makes a life worth living. That it's a personal relationship with Christ that really causes someone to truly be satisfied in this life. Whatever the case may be, we find in our lives being people who are prone to set up monuments or memorials of life. Joshua is going to be showing this to us today. Monuments, memorials. We all have them. And it's quite clear that in our own lives, we live perpetuating memorials. We do, every day. Whenever we're in connection with someone, we are actually building a memorial, a monument, something of a memory. You might get up and leave. Yesterday, I broke away and I went to this little cafe in the mountains there, and I thought, this is great. It's quiet. And I had my Calvary Chapel sweatshirt on. Didn't think anything about it, but I sat down and I was really just enjoying the moment there. And I heard somebody say, "Do you go to Calvary Chapel?" And I thought, and their back was to me, or my back was to them. And I thought, oh, I don't want to be bummed right now. I just want to be alone right now. And I turned around and it was this stranger. I didn't know who he was. And come to find out, we started talking, and he says, "Hey, come on over and sit at my table." We wound up sitting together and having a great time of fellowship. We exchanged cards and phone numbers, shook hands, and walked away, having been enriched by being in one another's presence. It was an ordained moment. And for each of us, we could say that it made a difference in our lives. He encouraged me, I encouraged him, God was glorified, it was a great time. I was not planning on that. But that's how many memorials are established in our lives. Memories, points of interest, things like, we interrupt this broadcast to bring you this special announcement. You know, that usually sends a little bit of fear up your back. That's usually not good news coming. And we have memorials. We have one right now. If you remember what January 17th kind of stands for in this part of the world. Does anybody remember where we were 5 years ago on January 17th? Yeah, earthquake, big one. We remember the moment. Early in the morning, that great earthquake hit. Tragically, 56 people were killed. Could have been more if it would have happened later in the day. That was God's grace and mercy. Freeways fell down, buildings crumbled, gas lines. Remember seeing the streets that were literally broken open with water gushing out of the highways and roadways, but the water was being mixed with natural gas lines that had broken, and the water looked like it was on fire coming up out of the streets in LA, in Northridge. Amazing. In under 30 seconds, $40 billion worth of damage happened in under 30 seconds. And it was the second most expensive natural disaster in U.S. history. January 17th. It's riveted. It's in our minds for those of us in this area. Monuments. If you've been to places, say, like Washington, D.C., it's filled with monuments. Monuments intended to point us back to the past, instructing us about how we should conduct our future. There's the Washington Monument or memorial. There's the Lincoln Memorial, the Lincoln Monument. There's the Jefferson. There's, of course, the White House. That's a great memorial, a great monument. Had the chance to go through there on a tour. It's very beautiful, very exciting. And it's such an icon, it's such a monument that you, as you take that reverent tour through there, nobody talks. It's very quiet. There's a sense of reverence. But you can almost hear in your mind presidents speaking. They'll show you this area, and this is what, you know, President Reagan did, or this is what George Bush did in this room, and you can almost hear them. It's amazing. Monuments. Maybe there are certain dates or certain people in your life that are established monuments or memorials they cause you to remember. It's normal for us. I was in Paris, France, not too long ago, and there's the arch of De La Triomphe, they tell you, the great image there of victory. There is the statue there of this great leader, this great general, and he's huge. And people are standing there with their cameras looking up in reverence to this great statue. And I'm wondering as I'm approaching, who is this guy? And then as I got closer and identified, he had his hand stuck in his jacket. You know who I'm talking about? Napoleon. All 4 foot 11 or 5 feet of him. But the monument, he's got to be 9 feet tall. Isn't it funny how men love monuments? I'm going to make a monument. Nebuchadnezzar made a monument 66 feet tall to his glory. Bigger than life. In the Smithsonian Institute, there's an image there. There's a statue of Charles Darwin. And he's huge. His head's twice the size of our head. His shoulder's twice its width. It's funny, though, they couldn't erase the grim off his face. He got this very sorrowful, sad look on his face. Well, he should be sad. He didn't believe in God. Memorials. In Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, we're going to look at three important things regarding monuments or memorials or things that cause us to look back at an event. In verses 1 through 3, we'll see the first point, and that is life and what it should mean. Well, we've all been born at the right time. That's the first point, verses 1 through 3. We're living at the right time. We'll cover that more closely in a moment. But you know, some people live in the past. Some people just live for the future. Listen, you and I have been born to live now by the decree of God, and there's a great reason and purpose for all that. The second point is in verses 4 through 8, and that is we're all living by God's grace to make a difference in this world. Every one of us can make a difference, no matter who we might be. If you're a Christian, God wants to use you and your faith to make a difference in this life. That's exciting. We're excited about the possibilities of what He wants to do. And the third and final point we'll see this morning is in verses 9 through 10, and that is we're all living by God's grace to be completely satisfied. Did you hear that? You ought to jot that down and highlight it. that we're all living by the grace of God to be completely satisfied. If you're a Christian this morning and you're not satisfied or content, we can use that word content, then something's wrong. You have your eyes off of God and His greatness. If you're not content, I'm not saying your life doesn't have any bumps and bruises. Life has bumps and bruises. Kids go out into a playground to what? Play. But what do they get? Bumps and bruises. Life is that way. But are you naming the name of Christ? Are you a Christian? And are you deeply inside unsatisfied? You're not filled with contentment, but you are discontented. You're not happy. And you have made happiness your focal point, your goal. If I could just be happy. And the Bible teaches us that happiness can only be attained by contentment in God. God has ordained the fact that you and I as believers can be content, satisfied in this life. That's the way He wants you to live. Isn't that good news? So if you and I are today unhappy and unfulfilled, it's because we've gotten our eyes off of God. And we've started to pursue other things and other ventures, thinking that we'll find fulfillment. But we don't. We're often left worse off. Let's go to the first point. Joshua 4, verse 1, 2, and 3. He says, "And it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one from every tribe, and command them, saying, Take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet stood firm. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you are to lodge tonight." So the first thing we see here is that we are living at just the right time. Well, how is that? Well, look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass." I love this. "And it came to pass, comma, when." Two significant things regarding timing. We are living at exactly the right time, meaning God controls the time. When it says here, "it came to pass," it means that in God's chronology, the events are being marked off. We are more familiar with this than what we think. In my house, we have a large wooden pendulum clock ticking. In the kitchen, we have a cuckoo clock ticking. Some watches tick. And with every tick, there's a passing moment. As a Christian, we can become overwhelmed with the loss of the moments, the loss of time. We can hear the clocks ticking, and it can almost drive us crazy because it means I'm that much closer to the end of this project, which I'm not ready to hand in yet. You know, it can be like that. This morning, because I've been very busy this week, and I finished the end of this message starting at 3 o'clock this morning. And I was looking at my watch, and I'm working and working and working as I'm looking and looking and looking. Why? Time was fleeting. And all along the way, God is saying, "I'm controlling it. I'm controlling the time." But that takes faith, you know. When it says that it came to pass, I was reading Dr. Harry Ironside in his commentary, and he said that he had bumped in a woman in New York City, and they were talking, and them both being Christians. Somehow they exchanged favorite verses, and she says, "My favorite verse is Joshua chapter 4, verse 1. And Harry Ironside, not remembering exactly what that said, asked her, "Remind me, what does that say?" And she says, "And it came to pass." And he said, "That's your favorite verse, it came to pass?" And she said, "Yeah, it is." And he goes, "Well, how was that?" And she said, "Well, my life has been filled with difficulties. But God's always been faithful to get me through. And this thing I've learned in my life of trials and difficulties, it came to pass. They come, but they go." And that's a beautiful thing to look at if you realize that God is in control of time. And so we'll look here that He has delivered us into this world at just the right time, just like Esther and her great event of life in chapter 4 of Esther, verse 14, where the Bible says, Mordecai tells her, "Esther, you have been born into the kingdom for such a time as this." And that's true for every one of us. When your mommy gave birth to you, that was not an accident. I remember Rebecca was born at 12 minutes after 4 on Friday the 13th, 1982. That's an event. It was wonderful. Had the camera going in there, you know. Got the doctor holding up Rebecca with a camera behind her head. It was perfect photography. Why? It's a memorial. And it came to pass. Time goes by. God is in control of time, always. It came to pass, and look at the next word. It says, when all the people had completely crossed over. Another time issue. It comes to pass, yes, and it shall, and God will see to it. But also, when the people had completely crossed over. Joshua is giving us a narrative here that God was keeping in pace with his time decree. And when the people had gotten across, it was just the right time. And it was right at the right time when all of them made it. Not one was swept away. Not one was lost. In Galatians 4, verse 4, the Bible says that God, who in the fullness of time sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ. That word fullness of time means to keep the appointed moment. God had a moment bound in eternity that he knew. God knew the moment that Jesus should be born into the world. That very moment. A lot of people say today, you know, if I could just live back in the time when Christ lived, I'd have much stronger faith. You know, that's not true. Did you know that? It's not true. Well, if I could just see God part the Jordan River, then I would believe him more. That's not true. It doesn't work that way. People see miracles and yet they give up on believing in God. It's tragic, but some people even have miracles in their life take place and they give up on God because they're focused on the temporal things rather than the eternal God. But another thing that we want to look at regarding this is God is not only in control of time, which makes it always the right time, but God intervenes. It says in verse 1 that the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, so in the moment of this great monumental crossing of the Jordan River as the children go from that eastern side where Moab and the Golan Heights on the east side of the Jordan, on the east side of the Dead Sea. When they cross over now, as they're going across, they go on to what we call today the West Bank, the western side of the Jordan, the area of great dispute. Why? Well, it's the land of what? Milk and honey. Everybody wants it. Isn't it funny? Everybody, they love it. They want it. It's prized land to Israel. God had promised it to Abraham. Even the land itself, to the Israeli mind, to the Jewish mind, is a great monument to God's love and God's faithfulness. But have you noticed in life, not only does God intervene in life, but it says in verses 2 and 3 that really the right time is now. He says, take for yourselves 12 men from the people. That is now. It is to do it now, Joshua. One man from every tribe and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan. Again, that word will come across it a few times this morning. The word midst means the deepest part of the Jordan. The midst of the Jordan from the place where the priest stood firm. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the place of lodging where you lodge tonight. That is going to be Gilgal, the town of Gilgal, or the name Gilgal means the rolling back, or the circle, or the rolling back, Gilgal, to roll back. We'll cover that more in future studies. By the way, from the Jordan River to Gilgal is about 8 miles. And these stones these guys are to pick up, they're not pebbles. Imagine, I'm sure, think about it. You 12 guys go back into the river and get 12 stones and put them on your shoulders. We're not talking some pebble here. Oh, they're big stones. I got this piece of petrified wood in my office. It's about this big, and it's so heavy. We're probably talking about stones that weigh maybe, I don't know, maybe 50 pounds. Maybe more, because, you know, it's fairly easy for any of us guys to put 100 pounds of a sandbag on our shoulder. We can walk quite a way with that. These people are certainly much better in shape than we are. but it's a stone of significance. It's a stone so significant that he's going to tell us in a moment that they're even there to this day, and that would have been 20 years after this event when this book was written. So we're talking about some serious stones here, but ones that are carried by these men, 12 of them, 12, one for each tribe of Israel. But have you noticed, regarding time, that where we're at and our view of God makes a great, great difference in how we view things. Meaning that there's a lot of people who are just nostalgic perpetually. And I don't mean that in a good way. There's some validity to being nostalgic. You know what I mean? It's like when I was growing up, my parents had a stereo in the house. And believe me, when I was growing up, stereos, you didn't put the little foam rubber thing in your ear. The stereo took up half the wall. It was a huge Packard Bell monster thing. And you took this big black disc called an album. And you put it on with a needle. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. The kids are, what? What's he talking about? It's from another age and another world. And at Christmas, I'd hear Perry Como. And I'm thinking, Mom and Dad are sick. They're nuts. And Perry Como. And you know, the Beach Boys had a Christmas album back then, but they didn't play that. They played Perry Como or Dean Martin or one of these guys, Nat King Cole, you know? And I thought they were crazy. And the other day, I press scan on my radio, and the car's got a scan button. You press scan, and it goes through and sample stations, and some of it is just, and then it goes, and they say, and it came to, I think it was Perry Como, and I stopped it. How strange that is. And then the next thought I had was coming home before football practice, I'd come home and I'd eat Cheetos with a big tall glass of milk, or Oreo cookies, dipping them in there, you know, and eating them away while I was watching Sea Hunt and Highway Patrol. Remember that? Dun, 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 dun. And Broderick Crawford would jump out of the car and with one little gun kill all the thugs and hoodlums. Remember that? And nostalgic. But some people just live there. I remember the good old days. The good old days, I don't remember all being that good.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 10 verses of Joshua chapter 4. It's a study called Life and What It Should Mean. It's an insightful lesson in how our Creator is in control of the events of history because, quite simply, He is the author of time, past, present, and future. Life and What It Should Mean is part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, I got to tell you, I've had the chance myself to visit the land of Israel with Pastor Jack a couple of times, but maybe you were unable to do so, and that's precisely why we're offering Live from Israel on DVD. You're going to like this DVD. Live from Israel, subtitled Relationship, Not Religion, is a message taught by Pastor Jack on the southern steps of the Temple Mount, some of the very steps that Jesus himself walked. Once you watch this DVD, Scripture will come alive for you in ways that it never has before. Our offer for your tax-deductible gift to the broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you this DVD. Whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention it by name, Live from Israel, Relationship, Not Religion, by Pastor Jack Hibbs. Visit realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and you'll know exactly where to point and click. We've made that real easy for you, realradioactive.org. Our phone number, 877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Or if you'd like, send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.